Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Saha Conversations, a podcast by the Scottish Arts and Humanities Alliance, Saha for short. Today we're joined by Professor Rob Dunbar, Chair of Celtic Languages, Literature, History and Antiquities at the University of Edinburgh. Thank you for joining us, Professor.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Your academic journey is incredibly interesting. Before your role at the University of Edinburgh, you were Senior Research Professor at UHI, a Senior Lecturer in Law at the University of Glasgow, and a Professor in Celtic and Law at the University of Aberdeen. How did your academic journey start, and why Gaelic?
Well, as you've summarised, it's a long and winding road, as they say. I'm from Canada originally. Why Gaelic? Gaelic was spoken in my father's family, really down to his generation. My family on my father's side was from Nova Scotia originally. I always knew that Scottish heritage and a Highland or a Gaelic heritage was part of my heritage. After I finished my undergraduate degree in Canada, I lived in Brazil for the better part of a year. And it was really there, people asking me, you know, where my ancestors were from, another country of immigration. And I knew more or less where they were from, but I thought to myself, I really should find out more about who they were, what their culture was, what their language was. So when I got back to Canada, I did a law degree. It was after I finished my law degree, I started learning Gaelic. I said, right, I'm going to go back and I'm going to answer those questions that I had for myself and satisfy that curiosity. So I practiced law in Toronto for several years, and that's where I started learning Gaelic in night school classes at the University of Toronto, or at the City of Toronto's Board of Education. I would go to Cape Breton Island in Nova Scotia in the summer to attend Gaelic classes. They have a Gaelic college in Cape Breton, and I would immerse myself in the culture there as well. I left practicing law in 1994. I went to the University of London to do a master's in international law. I wanted to reorient my legal career. And following that master's, I got a job teaching law at the University of Glasgow. And it was a very fortuitous opportunity for me because, of course, there's a significant number of Gaelic speakers in Glasgow, and I was in Scotland, and it allowed me to pursue my interest in Gaelic. So while I was doing work as a lawyer, teaching law at Glasgow, I started a part-time PhD in Celtic at the University of Edinburgh. My PhD was on a Gaelic poet from the Isle of Tiree, who had emigrated to Nova Scotia. John MacLean had emigrated to Nova Scotia in 1819. His songs were very well known. And when I was learning Gaelic, I became very familiar with his songs. So I did my PhD part-time on him. At the same time, I've always been interested in constitutional law, international law. At the University of London, I developed a real interest in the protection of minorities. And coming from Canada, of course, where we have an official languages regime which protects French and English and makes them official languages, I was always quite interested in the role of language in protecting and supporting minorities and minority identities. So my legal work at this time at Glasgow, increasingly in terms of my research, turned to this question of minorities. In international law, linguistic minorities, the protection of minority languages. I became an expert at the Council of Europe while I was still at Glasgow in relation to the only international treaty that deals with minority languages, the European Charter for Regional or Minority Languages. And I continue to work on that treaty. In fact, I am now on the treaty body of the Council of Europe that oversees the implementation of this treaty. 25 countries, including the UK, have signed up. Because I spoke Gaelic, I got to know people involved in Gaelic broadcasting, but also in Gaelic development. When I arrived, the main development organization was trying to lobby for a Gaelic Language Act, and so I was able to provide advice in relation to that. So that's really how I managed to do both. I moved to Aberdeen University in 2004, and I was appointed to both the School of Law and the Department of Celtic. And I think I was the only reader and then professor of both Celtic and law. I worked on a research project, as you said, at the University of the Highlands and Islands, which involved other universities in Scotland. And then in 2013, I arrived back at Edinburgh, where I had started my PhDs. And I've been there since. So that's a sort of potted, perhaps slightly long-winded, but a potted history of how I got from Toronto all the way to Edinburgh.
Wow, what an interesting journey. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. You mentioned broadcasting and the Gaelic Language Act. So you were involved in the development of the Gaelic Language Act and the creation of BBC Alba, which, for those who don't know in our audience, is Scotland's Gaelic digital television service. Language representation in the media is crucial, and yet something that people may take for granted. It plays an important role in how we as a society perceive our world, as well as other words. So how important is it to have this kind of representation in free-to-air television and radio?
Well, I think it's very important. There's a lot of talk, of course, about new technology, new media, and the extent to which new media, things facilitated by the internet, such as social media and so forth, are in a sense or in a way challenging or replacing more traditional media forms. Now, television would be considered one of those forms, but television and radio continue to be very important, particularly in minority language contexts. But you're absolutely right. By having a presence on television, it not only serves the speakers of the language in the Scottish context, Gaelic speakers, but it also raises the awareness of people in society at large who happen to come across the channel or sometimes even turn to the channel for programming. Sports programs attract a far wider and larger audience than the number of Gaelic speakers. The same is true for many of the arts programs that are on the BBC Alapa Gaelic service. Current affairs shows like EORPA, European Current Affairs Show, I think it's still the only European current affairs show on television in Scotland. So there is, and drama. We have a new drama just appeared in the last couple of weeks in Thailand, which has attracted a wide audience. So it certainly makes people aware that the language exists. It also counters the idea that the language is only spoken by old people or is a dying language. You see all sorts of a variety of faces, and you hear a lot of variety of voices from older native speakers to young native speakers to all sorts of different types of learners of the language. And I think it counteracts the idea that it's a language that's somehow associated with the past, a world that no longer exists, really. It shows that the modern Gaelic world is diverse and interesting in the same ways that any other cultural community is. So I think television is very important in that sense. But of course, it's very important for speakers themselves. It gives them, as one scholar has said, a way of talking of a community's ability to talk to itself. The community can, for example, get news now, both through radio and television in Gaelic, from international news and current affairs to local events. It allows Gaelic speakers to tell stories about themselves, about their history, about their culture, about their aspirations. And that sort of space is very important for any language. So I think media is very important for culture, but for minority cultures, minority language especially.
Thank you very much for that. You mentioned something quite interesting, the idea that the language is only spoken by old people. But if we look at census data, the story seems to be a bit different. So lately we've seen a positive trend. The number of people who can say a few words in Gaelic has increased in recent years. In 2022, 30% of people surveyed reported being able to speak a few words of Gaelic, compared to the 15% in 2012. Do you think the language is promoted enough, or would you like to see something more?
Well, I'd like to see something more. You're absolutely right that the census shows reasons for optimism, but also for concern. It is true that the most recent census showed the numbers of people who claim to be able to speak the language have gone up to almost 70,000, which is up from 58,000 in 2011, in the census of 2011. And again, the number of people who can say a few words is increasing. The important thing, of course, is the number of people who use the language to communicate as part of their day-to-day lives. And we don't really have data from the census or other sources on that. But it's quite clear that more people are learning the language. More people are learning the language through Gaelic medium education, which has been very important in growing the number of speakers and growing the number of young people who have ability in the language. By the same token, the census shows, and other research has shown over many years, that in the areas where Gaelic is most widely spoken, particularly in the Western Isles, the numbers and percentages continue to fall. The rate at which people are transmitting the language to their children is declining in those areas. So there's both good news and bad news. And the challenge is how to address the decline, particularly in the remaining strongly Gaelic-speaking areas, but also how to create more opportunities for people everywhere in the country to use their language and to pass it on to the next generation. So there is some reason for optimism, but I think much more can be done to promote the language as well, particularly in the education system. Gaelic medium education has grown, but there are still limited opportunities to enroll children in Gaelic medium education in many parts of the country. And also just basic exposure to the language, being able to take Gaelic as a subject at, say, secondary schools like other modern languages is still very limited. It depends on the council area that you're in. Even where it's possible, such as in Edinburgh, the opportunities are very limited. Really, only one school offers any Gaelic, the teaching of Gaelic as a language at the secondary level. So I think much more can be done through education to promote the language. And also greater promotion of the language in public life. There have been many successes thanks to the 2005 Act that you mentioned before. There's, in my view, since coming to Scotland in 1995, there's much greater visibility of the language on public signage, the use in a variety of public settings, the audibility of the language, hearing it on media and so forth. It's much more present. When I got to Scotland in 1995, it could be viewed as almost a hidden language, a language that was there, but really not seen and not heard. And that's changed. But I think there's still opportunities to increase that. And finally, increasing people's knowledge of the opportunities that Gaelic presents, not only the opportunities to understand more about Scottish history, identity, culture, but there are increasing opportunities for employment in the language and increasing social opportunities as well. So there are good reasons for people in Scotland to be interested in the language. So I think there's much more, as you say, that can be done to promote the language.
Thank you very much for your answer. And you mentioned the word modern language. Now, there are six modern Celtic languages. Probably our audience is familiar with Gaelic and Irish, but perhaps not everyone knows how many Celtic languages are out there. You, as chair of Celtic languages, probably heard this question so many times before. But how similar are Celtic languages? Can a Scottish Gaelic speaker understand Irish?
They're very close. They're close languages. I would say that with a bit of prompting, it would be possible to communicate and to understand some Irish if you're a Gaelic speaker. And similarly, if you're an Irish speaker, with a bit of prompting, with a bit of familiarization with a bit more vocabulary and so forth, it would be possible to get the gist. And certainly, if you speak one, because they are closely related, it's much easier to learn the other if you're a speaker of one of the two languages. Another closely related Gaelic language is Manx Gaelic. As far as we know, the last speaker of the language died in the 1970s. But even before then, there were ongoing efforts to revive the language. And thanks to those efforts in the Isle of Man, there are now approximately 2,000, slightly more than 2,000 people in the island who speak the language. And there have been increasing efforts to expand the teaching of Manx as a language. So those are three of the six Celtic languages, and they're all quite closely related. But there are two branches of the Celtic languages, the Goidelic or the Gaelic languages of Irish, Scottish Gaelic, and Manx. And then what is sometimes called the pre-Celtic languages, Welsh, which people will almost certainly have heard of as well, as well as Breton, which is still spoken in Brittany, and Cornish. Welsh is spoken by a very significant number of people in Wales. Almost 20% of the population of Wales is Welsh speaking, and it's also benefited from a great deal of important measures of support from the state. There's language legislation, which has led to the much greater use of Welsh as well as English in public administration, public services, in Welsh signage. Essentially, all government signage now in Wales is bilingual. When you go to take the train, as I did a couple of weeks ago in Wales, station announcements are in Welsh as well as English. Welsh medium education is very broadly available, and in some parts of the country where Welsh is strongly spoken in the northwest, Welsh medium is really the only option available for students. So Welsh is doing quite well, although it has challenges as well. Breton, the recent research suggested the number of Breton speakers has dropped to little over 100,000. Some years ago, research had been done. There is no question in the French census about the ability to speak languages other than French. And so we don't know precisely from the census, at least, how many speakers of Breton there are. But almost certainly, the speakers of Breton tend to be more elderly, and the language is losing numbers quite significantly. Although, once again, there are some efforts through a Breton medium education to equip a new generation of speakers. But it's certainly a very still spoken language, but certainly very vulnerable in comparison with Welsh and Irish and even Scottish Gaelic. And finally, there's Cornish. It, like Manx, ceased to be spoken probably over 200 years ago, but it too has been the subject of revival efforts. And now there are several hundred people in Cornwall and some in other parts of the United Kingdom who can speak Cornish as a revived language as well. So those are the six Celtic languages that are spoken in Ireland, in Britain, and in France. And I should say that the Celtic languages are spoken elsewhere in the world. There was a colony of Welsh speakers in Patagonia in Argentina that was established in 1865, and Welsh is still spoken in Argentina at the community level, and is still taught in schools there. And where my family is from in Nova Scotia, Gaelic is still spoken. The numbers of speakers are now very low, but there are real significant revival issues there. And there's even a Gaelic medium school in Nova Scotia. So, and there are large numbers of learners of Gaelic in the diaspora, particularly in North America and also in Australia and New Zealand. So, the languages are spoken where they've been taken by immigrants as well.
That is very, very interesting. Thank you so much for sharing it with us. Perhaps some people can use that as a fun fact during Gaelic Week. Speaking of Gaelic Week, this podcast will be released during Gaelic Week 2025. So, what would you say to a young person approaching a language for the first time? And what book or show would you recommend to a more advanced beaver?
Well, first thing I would say is that I very much encourage anybody that's interested in Gaelic to explore it. There are great rewards from doing so. Not least, you learn a really interesting language, a very culturally rich language. There's a huge song tradition, oral tradition, all sorts of cultural traditions and literature in the language, which are very valuable and rewarding. I myself have met some amazing people through the language, not only many native speakers, but other learners. You meet very interesting people, people who buy into the importance of cultural diversity, who are interested in Scottish culture, this important aspect of Scottish culture. So there are lots of rewards. You may end up like me being able to work using the language, but I didn't start learning Gaelic because I had any expectations of ever being employed, certainly not as professor of Celtic at Edinburgh. That didn't enter my mind back in Toronto when I was going to night school classes. And I would have learned the language regardless of whatever benefits beyond the social and the intellectual and the cultural that I got from it. But those are all really good opportunities, reasons for learning the language. With regard to resources, we're quite fortunate in that I think the quality and range of learning resources have really expanded over the last 20 or 30 years. There's now a number of excellent instructional books that are available on the market, such as Teach Yourself Gaelic, Gaelic in 12 weeks or 3 months. They're very good learning courses that have been published by some of the major language learning publications. But there is also now a website sponsored by the BBC, Speak Gaelic Initiative, and a television program on BBC Alapa, together with a website that goes with it, which has a ton of learning materials. And of course, we now have a Gaelic version of Duolingo, which has proven very popular as well. And course books and other materials have been developed on the back of that. So I wouldn't want to single out one because there's a real wealth of material that's available now. Again, if you're a language learner, one of the important things that you can do is just immerse yourself by listening to the language, having it on the radio, having it on television, being able to hear the sounds of the language is very important. And through the internet now, people, wherever they are, should be able to access things in a way that they wouldn't have even 15 or 20 years ago. So I would say that there's a being very expansive here, but there really is a tremendous amount of resources that are available to learners now.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, technology is such a big help. So I'm going out of memory here, but I believe there's about 1 million point 8 of Scottish Gaelic learners on Duolingo, which is quite the number. That's a huge
Yes,
number.
I can't remember the precise number right now, but I remember when it surpassed 500,000 people learning the language, and it's gone up since then. But the one of the benefits of that has been, again, the good materials on Duolingo have been expanded, and now we really have a very good infrastructure to supplement that. And of course, there are distance learning courses. The Gaelic College in Skye, Sólmó Rostaig, has really excellent online programs, educational programming for those who want to learn. Summer school courses for people who want to immerse themselves for short courses and so forth. So there's a really a growing range of material available.
And last but not least, I have to ask you this. What is your favorite Gaelic expression?
There are so many that come to mind. I would probably have a different one every day. One of my favorites, though, is Chatian Cas Hirim Iascoch. A dry foot doesn't make for any fishing. In other words, if you want to catch any fish, You got to get stuck in. You got to get into the water, cast your line, get your feet wet. And I think it's a good expression for life in general, but for learning as well. If you want to learn Gaelic, what you have to do is get your feet wet. Jump right in, get to work. Don't sit on the bank waiting for the fish to jump out of the river or into the boat. You got to get your feet wet. Chaitian cas hirim iascoch. A dry foot doesn't make for any fishing.
Well, that is very true. That is very true. Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Professor Tapali.
Tapalisha, Tapalif Gamor. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us on another Saha Conversations. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something new. If you like this episode, please like, subscribe, and share it on your favorite social media platform. You can tag Saha on Blue Sky and Instagram at Saha_voice, and on Facebook and LinkedIn at Scottish Arts and Humanities Alliance.